Do you hear that low but persistent rumbling from the south? It's not the deep tunnel, actually. It's Frederick Law Olmsted, America's greatest landscape architect and planner of what would become Jackson Park, turning in his grave. Why? Why is he turning in his grave? Because a large chunk, two square blocks to be exact, of Jackson Park, one of the jewels of Chicago's 19th century park and boulevard system, is being vandalized and repurposed, more precisely, privatized and deparked. It will house the Obama non-library, hereafter referred to as the Great Tower of Nothing, a.k.a. Barack's last bunker, a 20-acre, 235-foot high monstrosity. That's 50 feet taller than Rockefeller Chapel, for those of you who know Hyde Park. It will contain no papers or artifacts of the Obama administration. It will instead serve the Obama Foundation as an ongoing project where we will shape together what it means to be a good citizen in the 21st century. A good citizen in the 21st century, in the age of Trump. Now, people, doesn't that involve Molotov cocktails? It is not clear how this non-library, devoted to an ex-president, who devotes his time to writing memoirs and fundraising, and mostly refuses to speak up on any public issues, will help us protect our rights and liberties in the age of Trump. The Obama Foundation also points out that the Great Tower of Nothing will be, quote, a new landmark for the South Side and an economic engine for the city of Chicago, drawing hundreds of thousands of visitors every year, creating thousands of jobs, and will help to continue the revitalization of historic Jackson Park. These claims are typical pie-in-the-sky developer talk. Yes, the Great Tower of Nothing, this Giza for the gullible, will be an engine of development, but not in a way that will benefit the 99%. Quite the contrary. As for redeveloping Jackson Park, quote, no matter how they describe it, they're taking away parkland, in the words of the redoubtable Herb Kaplan, whose Protect Our Parks group is suing to stop construction. He says that the whole thing is a bait-and-switch operation designed to privatize the commons, setting a terrible precedent. What is the underlying purpose of this huge, sterile, strangely contentless ego trip of a complex, which is so totally out of scale with its surroundings, which converts a precious green, open, tree-filled area of Chicago into yet another heavily trafficked, paved, tightly controlled space? I think it's pretty clear if you look at the players and the history and the trends. It's all about gentrification, people, that is, ethnic cleansing, which is already taking place in our town at a pace never before seen in American urban history. I contend that the plutocrat-funded Obama Foundation plays the same role in the ongoing gentrification of the Southern Lakefront that the Obama presidency did in American politics, that of putting a mixed-race, pseudo-progressive face on the ugly underlying realities of institutionalized inequality, capitalist skullduggery, and white privilege. As others have noticed too, this boondoggle on the lake is a Trojan horse, using understandable but misplaced racial pride and identity politics and a vague do-gooder rhetoric to conceal a development strategy that is all about flipping property and displacing the poor. A little history will clarify things. In 1980, about when Harold Washington was contemplating his historic mayoral run, Chicago's black population peaked at nearly 1.2 million, according to a recent article in the Sun-Times. The Urban Institute estimates that by 2030, that number will drop to 665,000, an astonishing 45% decline over 50 years. According to the author, the restrictive covenants, redlining, and white flight of yesterday have been replaced by stiff resistance to affordable housing, high-cost housing that effectively prices out people of color, and disinvestment in communities of color regardless of their economic heft. The result is that the Great Migration has turned into the Great Exodus, driven by racism, which changes shape over time but never seems to fade away. The University of Chicago is in the wings of the Great Tower of Nothing. The university, which used urban renewal money to shove out some 4,000 mostly minority families from Hyde Park and Kenwood during the 1960s, no doubt sees the Jackson Park complex as a way to project its identity southward and create a larger buffer zone for its intensively policed, bubble-like neighborhood. It also serves to strengthen its highly marketable connection to Obama, who of course lived in Kenwood and taught at the U of C Law School, and to the neoliberal wing of the Democratic Party that he embodies. But there is more at stake here. Since the Great Tower of Nothing project was launched, the university has announced its intention of building a 1,200-bed student housing complex nearby, as well as a, quote, boutique hotel. These real estate ventures would be an unthinkable risk were it not for the billionaire and partly city-funded Obama monument anchoring the site. It's all about property values, higher taxes, and more desirable demographics, people. Rahm Emanuel, our beloved Mayor 1%, speaks no other language. But what does Barack Obama, Rahm's old boss and staunch friend, say about all this? At a community meeting this past winter, Obama said this: "We've got such a long way to go in terms of economic development before you're even going to start seeing the prospect of significant gentrification. Malia's kids might have to worry about that." If you can get past the dripping condescension of this remark, you encounter its Trump-like falsity. Gentrification has long since begun oozing south of the Midway. Woodlawn was declared the third hottest neighbor in the nation for the first half of 2017, with median housing values jumping 18% in that time, according to the CityLab website. If it wished to, the Obama Foundation could make a strong statement against gentrification and displacement. But that's not what the foundation, or Obama, is all about. What they're about is raising money, great gobs of cash, principally by tapping the obscenely rich. As of a couple of months ago, the Obama Center had received about 50 donations of $1 million or more from such sources as Bill Gates and George Lucas. Why the very wealthy are interested in building a non-library and towering artifact-free museum in a part of Chicago they are unlikely to visit is a bit of a mystery. One could speculate that Obama is redeeming his chits from 8 years of meritorious service to the business class, including his unstinting devotion to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, an arrangement that would have transferred huge amounts of what used to be called national sovereignty to our transnational corporate overlords. No wonder he's expecting and receiving some concrete manifestations of gratitude, especially from the financial tycoons who went unindicted and fully bonused up after the 2008 meltdown, winding up bigger and stronger than ever. What we do know is what oligarchs don't want or like. This includes attack on gentrification, advocacy for affordable housing, or acknowledgement of systemic inequality and injustice, or demands for radical change on behalf of, among others, the many poor and disenfranchised people on the South Side. This basic class bias explains the most puzzling gaffe by the Obama Foundation: its failure to negotiate a community benefits agreement with local organizations, which would increase consultation with neighbors and ensure that at least some needs are met and some fears allayed. This is the great irony. Barack Obama, the one-time Southside community organizer, is now thwarting a Southside community from empowering itself and taking part in decisions that will affect it forever. No longer needing community votes, Obama plays the paternal benefactor, giving the neighborhood what he and his rich friends and expert staff know it really needs, and who cares what the non-degreed riffraff think? If billionaires want to throw their money away on a paperless presidential non-library and towering empty museum, who am I to oppose them? Let them put it somewhere where, if it can't do actual good, it will do less harm. There are thousands of empty lots on the South Side, places where construction of any kind would be a plus. Jackson Park is literally the worst possible location for job creation, despite the foundation's claims. There can be no spin-off construction on public parkland, no next-door retail or restaurants or anything. Yes, there will be some jobs, but they will be what author David Graeberg terms bullshit jobs. PR and legal and security administrative jobs that are at best unnecessary and at worst pernicious. I have described Obama's Jackson Park follies as a Trojan horse, but perhaps Potemkin Village is the better metaphor. The complex symbolizes community life and culture and memory and scholarship without actually containing anything, just as the Obama presidency symbolized progressive politics and racial advancement without making any real progress. We don't need this empty, embarrassing monument to opportunism and elitism and gentrification on our lakefront. We don't need more toxic charity from the billionaires who choke and starve us, or more foundation dollars turning angry activists into tame social entrepreneurs. What we do need is tough, radical, grassroots democracy, the community itself confronting the strategic neglect and cancerous disinvestment that constitutes a slow-motion ethnic cleansing. If Barack Obama really wants to make life better on the South Side, he will need to come down to earth from his fortress-like tower and join those on the ground listening to what they say. If he could do that, he might come to understand that his friends are not their friends, his world is not their friend, and that his current hopes, as embodied in the Obama Presidential Center, are built on their despair. Thank you. Oh, thank you.